crowd gathered. Some cried, others mocked. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross," the Pharisees shouted with disdain. The soldiers laughed at him. The words echoed, but Jesus remained silent. The sky darkened. Jesus' hands were nailed, his flesh pierced by the nails, drops of blood falling to the ground. In the midst of this torment, Jesus uttered seven words that would change history forever. Let's start with the first word. First word, forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. No one expected words of forgiveness amidst so much hatred and cruelty. Jesus, the Creator and Lord of the universe, had all the power to condemn his tormentors. The Jewish leaders, the Roman soldiers, the crowd that mocked him. Yet he chose to forgive. His first word reveals the heart of his mission. Forgiveness. Jesus did not repay evil with evil. He interceded for his executioners before the Father. Have you ever found yourself in situations where forgiveness seemed impossible? What held you back? Jesus' attitude challenges us to evaluate our own reactions to injustices. When someone hurts us, the natural reaction is to seek revenge or hold a grudge. However, Jesus shows us a different path. Imagine you are carrying a backpack full of stones, each representing an offense or pain from the past. Each step becomes more difficult. The weight overwhelms you. Now imagine dropping that backpack. You feel light, free. That is forgiveness. It frees us from the weight of the past and allows us to move forward with greater lightness and peace. As it says in Matthew 5:39-40, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also." Those who do not forgive become sick physically and spiritually. They have no peace or rest for their soul. Forgiveness is the cleansing of the soul, the healing of bitter thoughts. Those who do not forgive become prisoners of resentment. Jesus taught that evil does not come from outside, but from within us. In Mark 7:21-23, we read, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Forgiveness is essential to transform this evil into holiness. We should never deny forgiveness to those who offend us. In Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Second word, salvation. "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. Jesus, the Son of God, was hanging between two thieves. They were not just simple thieves, but criminals who committed violent robberies and killed to steal. Jesus' cross was in the center, considered the greatest criminal. One of the thieves, full of bitterness, said, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other thief, with a trembling voice, replied, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This thief, who had lived a life of sin, received the promise of salvation. No matter how far we have strayed, God's grace is always available. Jesus did not say, "One day you will be with me," but "Today you will be with me." Christ's words and his gentle attitude touched the thief's heart. There are no lost causes for Jesus. The thief recognized his sin, cried out to Jesus, and found forgiveness. Just like him, we all have the opportunity to turn to God, regardless of our past. Third word, care. "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." John 19:26-27. Amidst his agony, Jesus saw his mother, Mary, and the beloved disciple John. He cared for his mother's well-being, ensuring she would not be left destitute. Likely, Joseph had already passed away, and Mary was a widow. Jesus entrusted his mother's care to John. Just as in a garden, where plants depend on each other to grow, we too sustain ourselves in the community of faith. We need to care for one another, finding strength and solace together. Fourth word, abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. A sepulchral silence enveloped Golgotha. Darkness covered the land for 3 hours. In the Bible, darkness symbolizes sin, death, and judgment. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was suffering the punishment for our sins. Have you ever felt completely alone, abandoned by everyone, even by God? Jesus knew this desperation. His cry, however, was not one of doubt, but a quotation from Psalm 22. Even in his darkest moment, Jesus clung to the scriptures. In Psalm 22:1, we read, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Jesus teaches us to maintain our faith, even when we do not understand our sufferings. God did not abandon Jesus forever. On the third day, he raised him from the dead. Likewise, our trials are not the end of the story. Fifth word, humanity. I am thirsty, John 19:28. Crucifixion was a horrendous form of execution. After being tortured, the condemned was nailed to the cross, exposed to the day's heat, suffering cramps, asphyxiation, and an overwhelming thirst. Jesus, fully human, experienced thirst. A soldier soaked a sponge in vinegar and brought it to Jesus' lips. This cruel act fulfilled a prophecy from Psalm 69:21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Sixth word, victory wear. It is finished, John 19:30. It was not a sigh, but a shout of victory. Jesus had completed his redemptive mission. The work of Jesus frees us from sin and opens the gates of heaven. Our response should be to live in gratitude, following his footsteps and loving as he loved us. Salvation is a finished work, not something we forge, but the path God opened from heaven to earth. Our salvation is guaranteed by Jesus' complete obedience and his sacrifice on the cross. Seventh word, surrender. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46. With these words, Jesus voluntarily gave up his life, fully trusting in the Father. He completed the work of redemption and surrendered himself to the Father. These words invite us to reflect on our own lives. Are we willing to surrender everything into God's hands? Do we trust that he has control of our lives and our future? Conclusion. Recapping, Jesus' seven words on the cross show us the power of forgiveness, the promise of salvation, the care for our loved ones, the experience of abandonment, Jesus' humanity, his finished victory, and the final surrender to the Father. Each of these words challenges us to live according to Jesus' example, loving and forgiving, trusting in God in all circumstances. May we embrace the legacy of the cross with humility and gratitude, recognizing that through it, we find the way to true life in communion with God and others. As the Apostle Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Jesus asked for forgiveness for those who crucified him. How can we apply this level of forgiveness in our lives? Who do we need to forgive today to free our hearts from bitterness? To the repentant thief, Jesus promised, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Do we have the assurance of our salvation? Do we trust in Jesus' promise of eternal life with him? Jesus showed his care by saying, "Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother." Are we attentive to the needs of our family and loved ones? How can we demonstrate our love and care in tangible ways? Jesus exclaimed, "I am thirsty." Do we recognize our own needs and human limitations? Do we seek the living water in Jesus to quench our spiritual thirst? With the declaration, "It is finished," Jesus completed his redemptive mission. Are we fulfilling the mission God has entrusted to us? Do we live with the purpose of glorifying God in all our actions? Finally, Jesus trusted his spirit to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Do we fully trust God with our lives and our future? Are we willing to surrender everything we are and have into God's hands? Thus concludes the first coming of Jesus. Christianity prophesies a second coming, explained in the book of Revelation. This event is predicted 318 times in the Bible, making it the most mentioned prediction. We believe Christ will come soon. May we be prepared, living in faith and expectation for his second coming. May God bless you and your family. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples on various occasions, reinforcing his teachings and preparing them for the mission to come. He gave them the great commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:34. This love was the distinguishing mark of Jesus' followers, a love that transcends barriers and prejudices. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus gives the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This mission is still in effect today, calling us to share the gospel with everyone. Jesus also emphasized the importance of humility and service. In Matthew 20:26-28, he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This call to service is a powerful reminder that true power lies in serving others with love and humility. In his parables, Jesus taught profound truths in simple and accessible ways. The parable of the Good Samaritan, for example, teaches us about compassion and mercy, Luke 10:25-37. Jesus tells the story of a man who, being attacked by robbers, was ignored by a priest and a Levite, but helped by a Samaritan, considered an enemy by the Jews. This example challenges us to love and help everyone, regardless of who they are. Another impactful parable is that of the prodigal son, Luke 15:11-32. In it, Jesus illustrates the joy of the Heavenly Father in receiving back a repentant son. The younger son, after squandering his inheritance, returns to the Father who receives him with open arms. This parable reveals God's grace and forgiveness, always ready to welcome those who repent and return to him. Before ascending to heaven, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to guide and strengthen his followers. In John 14:16-17, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter and guide, helping us to understand and apply Jesus' teachings in our lives. He empowers us to live according to God's will and to witness to the world about salvation in Christ. In Acts 1:8, Jesus declares, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After his ascension, the disciples stood gazing into the sky. Two angels appeared and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1:11. This promise that Jesus will return is a central pillar of the Christian faith. The second coming of Jesus will be a glorious and powerful event. In Matthew 24:30-31, Jesus describes, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. This second coming will be the culmination of God's redemptive plan. Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, establish his eternal kingdom, and bring full justice. In Revelation 1:7, we read, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." How should we prepare for Jesus' return? In Matthew 24:42-44, Jesus warns us, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." We must live in constant vigilance and readiness, keeping our faith firm and our hearts pure. In 2 Peter 3:11-12, we are exhorted, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." Preparing for Jesus' return involves a life of holiness and service. We must be committed to following Jesus' teachings, loving our neighbor, seeking justice, and proclaiming the gospel. In Matthew 25:34-40, Jesus speaks about the judgment of the nations, highlighting the importance of serving those in need as if we were serving him. We must also be attentive to the signs of the times, as described in Matthew 24 and other prophetic texts. These signs help us understand the nearness of Jesus' return and encourage us to remain steadfast in faith. In Luke 21:28, Jesus says, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Knowing that Jesus will return should deeply impact how we live. We should be examples of love, justice, and integrity. In 1 John 3:2-3, we read, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." The certainty of Jesus' return gives us hope and motivation to persevere, even in the face of difficulties. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul encourages us, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." We must also be agents of peace and reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, we are called to be Christ's ambassadors, bringing the message of reconciliation to the world. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Jesus' return is a glorious promise that fills us with hope and challenges us to live according to his teachings. We must always be prepared, living in holiness, love, and service, proclaiming the gospel, and waiting with expectation for the day he will come in glory to gather his people. May we, like the Apostle Paul, say, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Until that day, may we continue firm in faith, blessing and serving our neighbor, and joyfully proclaiming the hope we have in Christ. May God bless you and your family as we wait together for the glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.